Acts 17:27 says, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. You know, it just became clear to me as we were worshiping that, you know, that the Spirit of God is ever present. He's always here. And it isn't a matter of him coming to us, but us opening our hearts to receive him. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, we just glorify you and praise you. Do you know, worship is an act of faith. Worship is an act of faith. It's an act of, you know, and faith, of course, takes action to get into it. And so as you just desire and want to worship God, praise the Lord, you can get in that place. Amen. Oh, man. And it doesn't, you know, it's not based on our feelings. It's not, although, you know, very, very often feelings will come along with it. But worshiping God is, oh man, it's just such a beautiful thing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you know, sometimes we have a hard time on our own, and that's another reason for the corporate anointing, because maybe you didn't do so good today, but as you come in, you can enter into the presence if you come in faith. Yes. If you come in with expectation, right? You know, what a interesting day I had today. Not anything was out of the ordinary, but just the leading of the Lord today has been beautiful. Amen. It's been just something really, really good. And I'm so thankful. You know, it's always a blessing as a minister to be able to download the message, and then you hope and pray that you can deliver it in the way that you receive it. Amen. But God has some great things for us tonight. Amen. You know, tonight's message is called, Are You Full of It? Praise the Lord. And tonight I'm going to be talking about joy. Now, there's a lot that the Bible has to say about joy. This is might be a message that you normally would think that, man, this would be a real good Sunday morning message. Amen. Of course, I don't know the fullness of what the Holy Spirit is going to bring out, but I trust him for it. Amen. And I hope that you came too. And I sense that you did. Praise the Lord. But, you know, I had prepared a message and along the lines of joy, I had a scripture to start with, and then I kind of built it. You know, it seemed right to me. But I was walking out to my truck today, just this afternoon. I can't remember. I was getting something out of it, and as I was walking out, I heard in my spirit. Well, how did I hear it? I told you to preach about joy is what I heard. And I hadn't even preached the message yet, you know. But I know the direction that I had or that I seemed to have. But the direction that I seemed to have wasn't the fullness of what it was. It was kind of going, it was joy. It was based in joy in some of the scriptures I'm starting with. But then it went into a, kind of a different place of joy. Amen. And so when I heard that, I went back and changed it. It wasn't like a strong rebuke or anything. But I just knew that I needed to do that. And I went back and altered the message accordingly. But as I did that, you know, and I was sitting there in my chair just meditating on what the Lord would have me to minister, you know, these little waves of acknowledgement, so to speak, started flowing in. Amen. They started flowing into me as I was standing there, you know. It's kind of like this. If the other day I was outside, and this was a really neat experience. This was just a natural experience. But as I was outside, there was these birds chasing one another. They're fairly big birds. I think maybe they were crows or something. I didn't pay too much attention. But what drew my attention to them is I heard them. And I didn't hear their squawks, but I heard their flying. They were dive bombing each other and they were zipping around. But when they were moving, you could literally hear them like going through the wind. Amen. It was just coming. It was coming like that. And you could you could sense that there was something going on, which is what drew my attention to them, because my back was towards them at the time. I was like, what was that sound? Amen. But that was kind of what it was like today as I was meditating on what the message was going to be like. It was kind of like there was kind of a just this fluttering or swooping in of the Spirit, and just kind of leading me and guiding me into these things. And of course, the Lord has been dealing with me personally so much about many different areas of you know just in life and how we be. But he's been doing that also to share it with you. Now he's taking us all up higher. He's taking us all into a greater place. Amen. Praise the Lord. But joy is a key to to getting there. Now, joy is an act of faith, but joy is an experience as well. And it's an experience that, you know, if you didn't have the word, you might not experience it the same way. Amen. But this came to me, and I thought it was good, worthy of repeating. We have to learn how to find how to live in this life in the fullness of joy. Yeah. Amen. I'm glad just a couple are excited about that, but we have to learn to live in the fullness of His joy. Amen. God doesn't just want us, you know, in He just doesn't want us happy once in a while. He wants us in the fullness of joy. We know in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. Glory to God. And so that's where God intends us to be. That's what He has provided for us. But whether or not we get into it isn't up to Him. It's up to us. Amen. Amen. But when I sensed that fluttering of joy, what I was realizing is that it was there. Amen. That's it was there for me to get into. I was telling my wife, you know, I almost would like to preach this message for a month, or not maybe just this message, but preach on joy for like a month, because I just sense that there's a lot more there, and perhaps that's where the Lord will take me. I don't know, but I'm telling you, this is an important thing for us to get tonight. Amen. And so we need to hunger and thirst for this. Amen. We need to desire it. We need to get into the Word about it. We need to look at it again and again and fill ourselves with God's joy. Amen. You know, there's a lot going on in the world. In the last few days, I decided to fast. So I've been fasting from the news. Hallelujah. And I've been fasting from the news about 3 days, you know. But it's kind of like if you've ever detoxed or anything like that, or, you know, after a few days, you sense a difference in you, you know. And I did just that. I sensed a difference. Now, there's nothing wrong with knowing what's going on, basic, you know, forms of that or whatever. But I have found that what we meditate on, of course, and the Lord deals with me this all the time. And you know, I'm constantly telling you about it. And then I'm constantly telling you about how He's constantly dealing with me about it. Amen. But there is a draw. There's a natural draw to know what's going on. And you think, you know, you might been away from it for a little while, and then you think, well, I might be okay to get back into it a little bit. And then so you do a little bit, and then pretty soon you find yourself in that position again. The Lord's reminding, and I tell you to stay away from that stuff. Amen. You know, there's nothing wrong with knowing what's going on, but we shouldn't spend much time on it, especially when it's not good. Because how many know that you can get your news from the Holy Spirit? You can get what you need to know from Him. Praise the Lord. And so there's a lot that's trying to rob us from the joy of the Lord. That's what these lies and deceit that people are setting up and out there in the world and the traps they're trying to set. But, you know, we just might as well just be those who go on and get what God has for us and kind of forget about that. Amen. If God wants to lead us to minister to people, praise the Lord, we'll be willing to. You know, the Bible says that we are not of this world, but we live in it. That doesn't mean that we have to fully embrace it. Glory to God. Amen. And but we're preaching about joy tonight. We want to get into the fullness of what God. Are you full of it? Amen. You know, when I was a kid, I think I heard that phrase probably multiple times. You're full of it. You know what I mean? Praise the Lord. I don't think that this is what they were talking about. We can be full of a lot of things, but we want to make sure we're full of the right thing. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I don't want to be full of the wrong thing. I don't want to be full of it the way that they were talking. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to stop with that, but I don't want to be full of it the way that they were talking. I want to be full of God. I want to be full. You know, He's been dealing with me a lot. Pastor Ramos just recently at the prayer conference, I don't know which day at morning it was, but he preached a message on being full of God, and it was just a phenomenal message. If you get a chance, get into it. Praise, I don't know if you preach multiple times that week or not, but at least find that one, and it was really wonderful. So thankful for it. But you know, it was what blessed me so much is that because God has been dealing with me about what I'm full of, you know, which is one of the reasons why He's been directing me to stay away from the news and stuff like that, but to be full of the right thing. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. How many know if we feed ourselves joy, joy will come out? But if we fill up with things that are anti-joy, then joy isn't going to come out. We can look at the Word as much as we want, but if we're filling up with the wrong thing, what's coming out is going to be the wrong thing. You know, the attack of the devil is never joyful, is it? Why is that? Because he's trying to rob joy from you. And the way that he robs joy from you is to get you dwelling on something else. And so when you get attacked and you start dwelling on something else, that's exactly what the devil wanted to do. He may not, you see, sometimes we think that We think that the devil is, just trying to kill us, but he's not always just trying to kill us. I watched a short documentary about, it was the Vietnam War, and one of the things that the enemy in the Vietnam War did is they didn't always try to kill the Americans or their enemy, but they tried to, they were playing psychological games with them, and so they would set traps that maybe wouldn't kill them, but would cause them to be full of fear or to be full of anxiety and yeah. different things like this. And they found by doing so that it was very helpful to their cause to stop or to hinder the attack, because they knew that they couldn't outpower or outman the army that the United States was coming with. So they played these other games, and they were very effective at doing so because it drove fear. Well, the devil was, of course, behind that, and the devil is very much in those details, and you can see it. But that's exactly what he does with believers, is that he will stir something up in your life to cause fear, to cause anxiety, to cause anything other than joy to be present. Amen? And especially when joy is present. You come to church, you'll hear a great message, you'll leave here a joy, something will happen immediately. Your heart goes to, your response is to think that it's not working, or to take your focus off of it. But we have control of our focus. We have control over our focus, and we need to decide, are we going to walk in joy, or are we not going to walk in joy? Amen? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Ephesians 3:19. I am really, really juiced to be able to preach this message. Amen. Praise the Lord. There are some good things in here. Ephesians 3:19. Praise God. Hallelujah. It says here, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. You know, there was a time when I thought, reading a verse like this, I would thought, well, the fullness of God surely is stuff. Those things are lesser things. Stuff comes, stuff goes. But the fullness of God is so much more than that. The fullness of God is what we often try to obtain by stuff. When we want more money, we're hoping to obtain the things that only the fullness of God will give us. When we want a better living situation, it's to try to obtain only the things that God can give us. When we want a spouse, it's trying to obtain the things. Now, even though these things are all righteous, there's nothing wrong with them. But anything that we don't have, or anything we perceive as lack, when we're trying, what we're truly desiring is really only what the fullness of God can give us. See, we could be distracted by a lot that's going on. We can be distracted by the things and think that that's where it's going to lie. But if you've ever obtained things that you didn't have before, the one thing you know is that they never fulfill you. Amen? Glory to God. I wanted to read this to you in the Amplified version, because I really love how it brings it out. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, may have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Wow. We've been talking about revelation knowledge on Sunday mornings. Amen. The knowledge of the love of Christ far surpasses all human understanding. The fullness of God is found in that revelation knowledge of Christ, the love of Christ. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. When we understand God, why He did what He did, why He does what He does, and what He wants to do in us, that fills us with the fullness of what God has. It makes all things possible. That's where the line of all things becoming possible is. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Our reaction to any given situation lets us know what we are full of. When we face adversity, we come face to face with the things that are inside of us. Not always our instant reaction, but how we handle it. You know, sometimes there will be an instant reaction. The other day I was screwing in some deck boards, glory to God, in my house. And as usually always happens with a screw gun, when you're screwing something in, the screw bent over and the screw gun went because I was putting force on it. And my hand was at the other end of where it went. And I wanted to say some choice words. Now, I got real close. And if you were standing by, you might have thought like, is he going to say it? I didn't. I was thankful I didn't go that far. But in a situation, sometimes a quick reaction like that, you find out what you're full of. Amen. Yeah. I could have gone a lot further with it, a lot easier, but the point is, and those standing around me, I know were a little bit uncomfortable with as far as I was going, but that's not the point. The point is that what we're full of comes out in those situations, amen? When in those situations, you know, had I expected, and probably should have expected that that's what would have happened, or what was going to happen, but had I fully expected what was going to happen, I could have prepared for it differently. Amen. But I wasn't quite prepared for it. And so a lot of times that's how the devil brings things into our life. I believe that, you know, that was maybe a teaching moment. But a lot of times what the devil brings into our lives, or just that, it's situations that are going to press us and to see what's really on the inside of us. Amen. Is the fullness of God what's on? See, God wants us to experience Him. He wants us to get to a place where we're so full of Him, that's what comes out. Amen? That's my goal. I hope it's your goal today too. But, I can't get away from the scripture that says, in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy. If God is in our constant presence, there should be the fullness of joy. The fullness of joy is all around us at any time. Whether or not we tap into it is another thing. Now, we fill our lives with different things. We fill our lives with the news. We fill our lives with what our neighbors say or what our friends say or what our relatives say or who someone close to you says or whatever. We're filling our lives with all these things. But we have to ask ourselves, are we filling ourselves with enough of God? Amen? Now, there is a real practical aspect of life that you can't spend every waking moment in prayer and in the Word. And even if you do, you still probably will miss it. But it's not meaning that you can't live life. It's not meaning that you can't be part of or partake in this life. Amen. But we just have to know that there are different measures of it. And the more that we fill up, the better off we'll be. The more we fill up with the right thing. Amen. Glory to God. Love on the inside of you may cause you to be heartbroken by something that you see. You know, maybe it's a close one who's doing something wrong or getting off or something like that. Or maybe you're looking at, the way that the world is and it moves you, and you know the Bible tells us the love of Christ compels us, right? And so maybe we're moved to a place where we're saddened by these things, or we're moved to a place where where it's just bothersome to us or whatever, and that love that's on the inside of us is part of the reason why we feel. We're glad that we feel, and you should be glad that you feel. Amen. But joy is the thing that gives us a strength and the thing that will set us free. See, you can't look at a situation that's wrong and be happy about it, because you probably never will be. But the joy of the Lord, the fullness of God on the inside of you, is what needs to set you free. We can't do this being angry people. We can't do this being upset people. We can't do this being divisive people. We can't do this. All these things, God's joy flees from us. Amen? Now, real quick, we're in Ephesians. Just flip back a page or so, and you probably find this. In Ephesians 5, in verse 20, praise the Lord, verse 22, says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, so on and so forth. you know, my wife and I were discussing this scripture because we were just talking about joy. We were discussing this scripture. And she said to me that I happen to agree with. She said, this scripture almost, to me, almost seems like steps. You know what I mean? Like love is the first step. Joy is the second step. See, we master the idea of love. We can feel love. We understand what it's like to act in love. We teach on acting in love, and Jesus taught us all about that, to love your enemies, amen. And don't hate them, and to turn the other cheek and do these things. We understand the act of love, but so often we forget the next part of the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy, amen. You know, peace comes after joy, but how many know that peace ain't going to come unless joy is there? Joy isn't going to be there unless love is there. And so if we're acting out of the order of God, if we're acting out of lines, now it doesn't say specifically that this is the order of these things, but I will say this, that we're told that the greatest thing is love, and that was the first thing that's listed in the fruit of the Spirit. It only seems right to me that God would order things in such a way because there was some sort of importance to it. Amen. We have to understand that joy is an important part of being a Christian. In fact, it's slightly under love. We understand this, that without peace, you can't hear from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the peace-giving Spirit. Think about this. And if peace is a step that comes after joy, just humor me for a minute. Amen. We can't. We can see it listed there like that. But if peace is a step that comes after that, what about joy? Right. See, joy is something that we have to determine in our hearts that we're going to get a hold of. Yeah. Joy is not something that we have a choice with. Right. Amen? I know this, that if in the presence of the Lord, if the fullness of joy is in the presence of the Lord, then to be in the presence of the Lord, yeah, by default, there has to be the fullness of joy. Or you're not in the presence of the Lord. Amen? Oh, glory to God. How we come matters. You say, how we come to what? Church? Yeah, how we come to church matters, but how you come to work matters. How do you come home matters. How you come to your spouse matters. How do you come to your neighbors matters. How you come to your boss matters. How you come matters. How you come to God. Are you full of joy? You know, thanksgiving. The Bible tells us that we should come to the Lord with thanksgiving. Amen? Why do we come to the Lord with thanksgiving? Because that's the outflow of joy. Amen. Thanksgiving is like, well, praise the Lord. Lord, you've done so much for me. That's why I'm saying there's more, there's more, there's more, there's more, there's more. Praise you, Lord. Father, we praise you. There's more. See, you think you want joy, but more comes in joy. Praise you, Lord. Father, we thank you and glorify you. The joy. Glory to God. I'm so thankful for joy. I'm so thankful that we can have joy, that we can. Now there is a work to it. Amen. There's a work of faith to it. But first, we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Amen. We have to transform ourselves by renewing our mind. How are we renewing our mind? Just by this understanding tonight that joy is something that we need to require. The Bible says that if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you'll be filled. Just seems to me that joy could be considered righteousness. Could it not? Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. The world doesn't need any more contentious Christians. They need joyful Christians. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That doesn't throw boldness to the side. That doesn't throw, telling the truth to the side. Praise the Lord. But it does mean that we need to embrace something differently. Turn with me to Colossians. Colossians 1. Praise the Lord, verse 3. We're going to see some stuff here. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints. Notice that that was an important part of this conversation. Yeah. Their love for all the saints. Yeah. because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which has come to you as it has also in the world, in all the world, and is what? Bringing forth fruit. As it is also among you since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth. As you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Revelation knowledge. We need to be filled with all spiritual understanding. Amen. It is not enough to just get a little. We need to be filled with it. Filled with what God has for us to understand. Amen. That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And so we see this again, you know, the desire for us to be fruitful. We should be fruitful in every good work. Amen. And increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, again, that understanding isn't just the knowledge like, oh, I have book knowledge, but no, the knowledge of who God is. You could say it this way, the knowledge of joy. If you're not experiencing joy, you're not increasing in the knowledge of him. If you're not experiencing peace, you're not increasing in the knowledge of him. If you're not experiencing love, you're not increasing in the knowledge of him. If you're not increasing in stability, if these things aren't being birthed in you and more so as you go forward, you're not increasing in the knowledge of him. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, verse 11 is what we're trying to get to here. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. You know, so we see some words here that work together quite well scripturally, not always in our mind. We see the word patience, we see the word long suffering, but then we also see the word joy. You know, there's a temptation in me at different times, just like there is in you, to, you know, it's a nice day. It's a day that you want to go out and do something. And man, it just happens to be a church day. Of course, I've talked about this quite a bit. And there was a temptation. The Lord was dealing with me on this weekend a lot, this scripture a lot this weekend, as Saturday rolled around and I didn't necessarily want to do what I had to do. I wanted to be off doing other things. But it wasn't just that. It was that I was losing my joy as I was long-suffering and as I was being patient. I was losing my joy at the things that God has called me to do. See, we think that so often we get frustrated by these little moments in life and we think that that's just okay or that's tolerable, but actually that's an extreme weakness in faith. If we're not filling up, if we don't understand, if we don't learn the true contentment, and true contentment is joy. True contentment isn't just, okay, I'm going to do this thing or I'm gonna press through this thing, but true contentment is where you're a joy no matter what's going on in life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we just glorify you and thank you, Lord. God desires that we be full of joy. Because he desires that we be full of him. God wants us to know him on that level. But friends, we have to decide that that's what we're going to do. We have to decide that this is what we're going to partake of. We have to be transformed by this renewing. Notice that the strength, we are strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for patience and long-suffering with joy. God is strengthening us to be able to be patient. But that strength comes in the joy. He's strengthening us to be long-suffering. What do you need when something hasn't manifested yet? You need to be able to be long-suffering and patient. But those things come in the joy. That's where those things are. with joy. It's joy that is the catalyst. Joy is the door that brings the ability to be strengthened in. Joy is the thing that strengthens us as we go forward into the plan of God. Joy is the thing that gets us from day to day, not sadness, not downtrodden, not to be hurt. You know, like I said, if there's a moment of that, that's fine, but we cannot allow ourselves to remain in a place that is anything less than joy. Praise the Lord. Fruitfulness does not come until the walking out happens. Faith without works is dead. Fruitfulness is not proven until we decide to walk it out. We have, just as we've determined to do certain things, there are certain things in life we just determined to do, and everybody's at different levels, but there's something that you've determined to do in your life. That's an insistence on your part. And anything that you do in life is solely up to you. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So whatever you've decided to do, anybody who says, I don't know if I can do this, it's only because they don't do this. It's not because they haven't. Like if you know enough of the word and y'all know enough of the word, that you go to God and you insist that this is going to be the way that it is, that's what you're going to see. Yeah. Amen? Now, I'm talking about real things. I'm not talking about, you know, you can't go to God and insist that $1 million appears in your bank account, or go insist that a certain house or a certain car, those things can come in time, but you can't insist for those things. But what we can insist for, one of the things that we can and should insist for, is the fruits of the Spirit. Yeah. The fruits of the Spirit will fill us with all the things that God has for us. Yeah. Because in the fruits of the Spirit, there is no lack. There's no room for lack. There's no room for lack in the fullness of love. There's no room for lack in the fullness of joy. There's no room for lack in the fullness of peace or long-suffering or anything else that we are promised through the fruits of the Spirit. These are all fruits of the Spirit whom we already have been given. I said we've already been given. So there has to be a key factor that has nothing to do with God, because if He's already given us His Spirit, if we walk in what the Spirit or if we are to embrace what the Spirit has, glory to God. You know, it's by the Spirit we put to death the deeds of the flesh. It's by the Spirit. If we walk in the Spirit, that we shall live. The Bible promises us. How are we to live? We're to live the life that Jesus has provided for us. He said that He has come. He is the giver of life. What is that life? It is the fruits of the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so as we determine that we're going to walk in joy, as we see that God's plan for us is joy, that there is no there's no other way, there's no other excuse. When we have solidified it in us that there is no other, listen, you've already decided you're going to serve God. Do you plan on leaving and serving the devil? What keeps you from doing it? There's people out there. Surely you were around somebody today who was serving the devil. Yeah. What keeps you different? Your decision, your heart to say, I'm not doing that. Right. I know too much. I can't do that. Right. If somebody were to come to you and say hell is not real, you would know as a matter of fact that they're lying to you. Sure. And you serve the one who will take you to heaven. Amen. Yeah. See, we have to have the same determination with the things of God as we do God Himself. Because in His presence is the fullness. Why do you suppose in the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy? It's because what He is joy. You know, as I was going about my day, as I was thinking about things and tempted to get frustrated by a 70-degree day on a Tuesday. Remember, I talked about that recently, right? 70-degree day on Tuesday, and I can't work on the project I wanted to work on. I have to sit. I have to be before the Lord. But see, then the Lord started revealing to me about have to's, the have to is all constructed in my mind. I don't have to serve God. I know it's better to. So my lack of joy in those things was all a construct in my mind. That I couldn't do something was a construct in my own mind. That wasn't God. And He started revealing this to me. I've never required this stuff of you. Do whatever you want to do. He's given us free will. Praise the Lord. He told me to crucify the flesh. Right. Hallelujah. Right. He told you to crucify the flesh. He didn't say, I'm going to crucify it for you. Right. Amen. Yeah. See, when we follow God with the right heart, when we understand that what He desires for us is joy, when we start to understand, or when we start to wrap our human brains around these things, it starts freeing us up. The Bible says the truth will set you free. You will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, have you ever been set free from a list of rules and a bunch of bondage? I don't remember a time I was. Amen. The Lord has made us. Part of what Jesus did was open the door for us to experience that joy, that freedom that the Lord has for us, even though we didn't qualify for it. He qualifies us for it. I said He qualifies us for it. And because He qualifies us for it, He's the giver of those things. And so we have, it's completely besides us. See, all the things that we bind ourselves to, we bind ourselves to. That isn't God. Amen. Now listen, we are encouraged through the word, and we'll encourage you through the pulpit. Pray more. Read the word more. Come to church more. Do these things. We encourage these things because in those things is what you're looking for in life. Those are the things that you seek after. The answers for the questions that you have are found in those things. And that's why we encourage you, because you keep asking. You keep desiring. You keep wanting to know, how do I get here? And we say how you get there, amen? We deliver to you the message that tells you how to get there. But then somewhere along the lines, all of us take that and turn it into some kind of rule book. Okay, if I want to do this, and I have to check off this one, and this one, and this one. But what relationship has ever worked that way? Right. What relationship that came in when you came in and there was just nothing but rules, nothing about a list of things that you have to do? Praise the Lord. I've seen no woman on the first date give her man a honey-do list. Why? Because she knows full well he won't come back. God hasn't given us a honey-do list. Praise the Lord. Follow Him or don't follow Him. He said, if you follow Me, I will make joy appear in your life. I will make good things happen to you if you follow Me. If you trust My word and follow Me, I will make it come to pass. That's what Jesus was saying in Matthew 6. That's what He was telling us. He was saying, you just follow Me and I will make this. My yoke is easy, Matthew 11. My burden is light, glory to God. I will make things better for you if you follow Me. And the things I require of you, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The things I require from you when you're yoked to Me, they're not hard for you. They're not difficult. But somewhere in our minds, somewhere in our real religious thinking, we've made it difficult. We've made serving God hard. When you realize, I'm telling you, I'm at the forefront of this. I've been there. I've served God with all my heart. I've served my pastor with all my heart. And there's been times it's been difficult, but you know something? Every single blessing in my life I can trace to connecting to God and His work and His plan. And why would I look at anything? I look around and I'm like, I don't have all the pain and suffering I used to have. And I have multiple times more than I could have ever dreamed of currently. Why on earth would I look to God and think that it's burdensome to follow Him? Why on earth would I receive anything but the joy of the Lord? See, the joy of the Lord is something that you receive. It's something that's given, but you have to receive it. See, we're waiting for joy to come upon us instead of taking it upon us, instead of embracing it. Glory to God. You ever had that awkward moment where maybe you went to hug somebody and they just, you know what I mean? Like you're ready to receive, you're ready to give, and they're not. And it's always that awkward moment, and you kind of try to figure a way. Every once in a while you'll find, that's one of the things with, you know, there's certain people that don't like to hug, and then they really like to show you that, you know. And I'm not, if you're uncomfortable with hugging, that's fine. Just tell me and I won't try it again. But, well, I might, but we'll get beyond that, praise the Lord, and together we'll get there. But that's how it is with the Lord. It's like He's offered this to you, and so often we're just like this, we're just frozen. We're just I don't know, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. But He's given it freely. How would we see when we look at Romans 8:32, when we look at that scripture and we see that if He's given us Jesus, how will He not with Him freely give us all things? Why do we think that that's a new car? I'm not saying that God won't deliver you a new car. That's not what I'm saying at all. But why would those things be our focus? It's not the new car you seek. It's the joy you seek while you're driving it. But that joy is found in the presence of the Lord. You don't need, what I'm saying is you don't need the car to get there. You don't need the vacation to get there. You don't need the house or the spouse or the wealth to get there. What you need is God. Those things come, those are byproducts of living out of that supply of joy that he's given it to us. Joy is the answer. It's the answer for all those things. If you're seeking God for anything, joy is the answer. Joy. To embrace his joy. To say, Lord, I believe your word. I receive your joy. You know what I love? And I gotta have him in again soon. I love Pastor Ramos. Because there is a purity about that man. Now, I'm not lifting up a man. But there's a purity of some, and there's reasons that we're connected with him. Amen? But if you watch that message that I told you, and please watch it if you get a chance. But you'll find it on YouTube, you know, if you look up Dufresne Ministries and look for the, you know, the prayer conference and stuff like that. But that man can enter into joy in an instant. I've seen it. He can enter, and because of that, he can enter into the Spirit in an instant. He lives out of that place of joy, and as much as I've seen. Now, he's mastered that aspect of it. But you know what that does to me? It draws me in. It makes me want to be around people like that. Those are the kind of people. You know, we've watched just even over these last few years as, you know, Pastor Michael, as the Lord deals with him and brings him into this, you know, he's been preaching a lot about love and stuff like that. And as the Lord has been dealing with his heart on different areas, and we watch that same thing. We watch that joy infiltrate his life and those around him. Amen. Those are the things that we're after. We're in the right company. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We need to desire the fullness of God's joy. And I'm not talking about faking it. I'm not talking about just, you know, faking it till you make it or anything, but really truing, getting before God and saying, Lord, I want to understand this. I want revelation on your joy. Folks, I'm telling you today, tonight is it's a door that all of us have a choice to walk through. I'm going to tell you, the fullness of what's behind this message, I know for a fact, is not coming out tonight. And the reason it's not coming out is because this is an act of faith. This is a desire. I'm not saying the message. The message is coming out. Praise the Lord. I'm very happy with how the message is coming out. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the fullness of what's behind the message, you're not going to get here tonight. You're going to get it as you leave here and how you leave here, how you go forward in the days coming. What you decide to do with tonight's message is going to be the fullness of what God has for us. We're only right there. That's why when I was sitting in my chair, it was fluttering, but it wasn't coming in. Why? Because God wants us to desire it. He wants us to look to him. He wants us to come after. He's like, this is the best. Like, listen, everyone knows. It's one thing if you can give somebody, if you mail somebody a gift, but it's something very different. When you get somebody something special, you want to present it to them. When it means something to you, you wanna hand deliver it. You don't want someone else. You don't want Amazon delivering it. You don't want FedEx delivering it. You want to be the delivery guy, right? Yeah. Praise the Lord. That gift I told you about that we got for Pastor Noel, in fact, that was when we ended up having to ship just because it had been too long. I needed to get to him. But the heart was we wanted to deliver it. Glory to God. Because when something matters to you, when it means something to you, that's how, and that's exactly what God wants to do with us. He wants to hand deliver this to your door. How you go forward is whether or not, determines whether or not. You know, I'll be honest with you. Yesterday, as I get up, often in the morning is when I spend my time. I like to try to spend time with the Lord. And, you know, start the day off that way. And I'm blessed that I don't have to always get somewhere first thing in the morning so I can spend that time. And, of course, part of my job is to do that, and I do it for you as well, to spend that time so I can ensure that when I bring a message that it's inspired, it's God, and that there's stuff in me to draw out. Amen. But, you know, a lot of times when I find myself that when I really get into it, I start digging in, you know, 10 o'clock goes by and 11 o'clock goes by and then the noon comes by before I've even started my day because I've been spending this time with God. I've been digging into these things. And of course, this happens quite often. That's all, you know, you can almost get lost in the goodness of God when you start digging in. And we don't all have time to do that. I understand that, you know, as a preacher, there is a little bit of a difference. But that just means that God understands that too. And that just means that he'll make it easier for you. That you don't necessarily have to have 50 hours. Do you know that? Do you understand that? You don't have to necessarily, if you work full-time, you're a full-time. I know we got some full-time mothers in here. Not that there's a part-time mother, but yeah, we have mothers in here that have young ones and stuff. Do you understand that? That all you have to do is just desire to give God something, and he's gonna work with that. You know, my wife is an example of that. My wife is a very busy woman. She has a lot on her plate. She has a lot that she does, working a full-time job. She does some part-time work, and then she also co-pastors a church, two churches, praise the Lord. And there's a temptation at times to feel like, you know, this is all natural stuff. But the things that God has for us, you know, they fit into our life. And when I say fit into our life, if we're doing the work of the Lord, glory to God. You know, I'm not talking about people, and my wife certainly isn't this person, but I'm not talking about people who make excuses for not spending time with God. You understand there's a difference. My wife certainly isn't that person. But certainly, whenever she gets, you know, I've never met somebody quite as hungry, I think, as my wife is. Whenever I'll find her, if she takes a moment to rest, she's got her phone next to her and she's got some sermon playing. In the middle of the night, sometimes I wake up and she's listening to sermons. She's putting God into her. She's, you know, taking these times. She'll listen to, you know, she reads the word, reads books. She'll do all these things just for that hunger of God. And the devil will try to tell you that, you know, because you're doing all these other things that you're not doing the work of the Lord. Praise the Lord. But aren't we thankful for, glory to God, for what she does. Hallelujah. Hope that makes sense. Praise the Lord. Ooh, praise the Lord. God isn't moved by the fact that we have requirements in life. All he desires is that we desire him. Where does he fit into your schedule? And how does he fit into your schedule? You know, I, and again, I'm not making an excuse for let's do as much. Sometimes there are definitely times where I know I have to step back and just spend some time with God. Certainly you will too. But don't make it a thing. Don't make it a burden. Know that if you sense that in your spirit, if you're sensing a time where I just need to get before the Lord, that's just a time where he's desiring to be with you too. It's a time where he's desiring to be in your presence too, that he wants to fellowship with you. And see, this is the God that we serve. Hallelujah. Well, I got burnt through some time here. Praise the Lord. Turn with me real quick to Nehemiah. Now, I had to, and you may even know where I'm going here, and maybe you don't, but I'll just give you a hint. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Amen. Amen. But I start with Nehemiah 8, verse 1. Praise the Lord. Now, there's a bunch of names in here. When I get to the names, I'm just going to skip by them just so you know. I'm going to try to figure them out. But I'm so blessed that I've been drawn to these scriptures. And I was only going to go to the joy of the Lord is your strength, because that's one that we like to quote. But there's so good, such good context here, I just figured we needed to get there. When the seventh month came, verse 1, chapter 8, Nehemiah, the children of Israel were in their cities. Now all the people gathered together as one man in the open square that was in front of the gate. Notice they gathered together as one. Amen. And they told Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded Israel. So Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly of the men and women and all who could hear with understanding on the first day of the seventh month. Then he read from it in the open square and was in the front of the water gate from morning until midday before the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. In fact, so in other words, they were sitting there and they wanted to hear this. They were desiring, they were craving. Just like you, what would possess you to come out on a 70 plus degree day to sit in church in the evening after you've worked all day and you've done all those things? You want to hear from the Lord, right? What the Lord has to say. So Ezra the scribe stood on a platform of wood which they had made for the purpose. I love these little things in the word here. As we look at this, we see like they made provisions in their life. They were planning. We want to hear from God, and so we're going to provide a place for this to happen. Amen. That's what you're sitting in today. A place that's been provided for. Amen. We should think of these things. And besides him, at his right hand stood this whole list of people. Verse 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people, and when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. Then all the people answered, amen, amen, while lifting up their hands. So if you ever wonder why we shout amen and why we lift up hands, it's because that's what people do apparently when they like, you know, there's more to it than that, but amen means so be it. Literally, so be it. They're agreeing with the word. Why do we say amen? Because we're saying we agree with what's being preached. We agree. Well, Lord, recognize that I agree with the word. Yep, that's right. That's truth. Glory to God. We might be weird for saying it, but that's what we do. We get weird. Amen. While lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then also this other group of people in verse 7 helped the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So we got the works, we got ministry offices here helping. We got the ministry of helps, and people are helping. They're explaining the word. See, we got to get to a place where we can do this, right? Where we grow so much in the Lord that we can start explaining the things that we're hearing. Amen? That we can agree. We recognize that this is truth. Amen? Praise the Lord. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, who was governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go your way. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. What was the instruction that they were telling them? They were saying, he was saying that this day is holy to the Lord. So don't mourn. Don't worry about go your way, eat what you need to eat, drink what you got to drink, fill yourself, give portions to the poor, do good, go out and bless other people. Just go about life wherever you're at, because today is holy to the Lord. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Because what could someone do? They'd say, well, I don't have enough to take out and bless. I don't have the right amount to be a blessing. Yes, you do. When you recognize that the joy of the Lord is your strength, that as you go out, he meets you and greets you and goes with you. When you understand that, when you understand as you go about your business, glory to God, when you're at work and you're doing it as unto the Lord, that you can still communicate with God. When you're driving in your car, you can have fellowship with God. When you're going about your life, you can have fellowship with God. You haven't got to like put everything down and just forget that everything is. Go out and live life. Go do it. But do it for the Lord. Amen. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still for the day, this day, for the day is holy. Do not be grieved. And look at what the people did. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions, and rejoice greatly because they understood the words that were declared to them. I'm going to ask you, how are you going to leave church tonight? And how are you going to enter the rest of your week? How are you going to enter the rest of your month? How are you going to enter the rest of the year? Are you going to do it with joy? Because I want to share a scripture with you. I'm not even going to have you turn there, but Psalm 118, 24 says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." What day is the day the Lord has made? Today. Today, if you will hear his voice and do not harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion. Today, if you will hear his voice. Today is the day to rejoice. Every day. If you are born again, if you know the Lord, if he is the Lord of your life, every day is your day, my friend. Every day is your... What would happen if we just believe this? This is the first step. The joy is up to you because he's provided it already. Where are you going to go with it? Where are you going to take it from here? Again, I'm not at all, I hope you didn't get the impression that I'm saying neglect the Lord, just do everything that you possibly can, go out there and just live life, woo, and forget about God. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying take God into the world with you. Take him into your day. Let your day be God-filled, joy-filled, because you ain't got reason to sorrow. And if you do, you don't know who you are. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Glory to God. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy. That blesses me. How you react is going to determine your joy. How you react to everything. You may have a moment where it's tough. You may have a moment where you're like, well, this is not what I wanted. But how you go forward with it is going to determine everything. You know it's true. Hallelujah. It's the word. Glory to God. Today is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. As long as we draw breath, and if we don't draw breath anymore, praise the Lord, we're with him. So that is, and just going to give you a clue, that's better. Paul said it's better if I go be with him, but it's more needful for you that I stay. What was he saying by that? He was saying it's better for me to be with God, but it's needful for people that I'm here. The same thing as you. It's better for you to be with God, but there's purpose for you being here. And if there's purpose, it's God-given purpose, I'm going to tell you right now, it's not to suffer. Your purpose, suffering can happen in life, but that's not his purpose in it. Suffering is not God's purpose. Joy is God's purpose. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, this is what I just sense in my spirit, that the only thing that should be difficult for us, but the only thing that that we contend with. Help me to say that, Lord. How do I say it? I may have to explain this, but the only thing that should be difficult for us is the opposition to us doing the plan of God. Now, what I mean by that is not that we should receive this and say, okay, this is just going to be difficult. But what I'm saying is the only trials or stressor in our life, if there is any, should be those things. It shouldn't be things, it should be what the enemy is directly attacking us with, not what we try to obtain in life. Not living. Living should not be a stressor to us. And it's a stressor only because, now us, I'm talking about us. That's someone who's born again, who's in the plan and will of God, somebody who is following the plan of God for their life, that we should not receive, not that you should receive stress. You understand, I'm not giving you provision to receive stress. But what I'm saying is we can eliminate a lot of stress by making those things where there should absolutely be no stress. You know, like if I came to you and I said, I'm going to pay your mortgage payment for the rest of your life. You never have to worry about it again. If you stressed about your mortgage payment one day after that, you'd be a fool. But yet we're promised so much in the Word, and Jesus promised us that he would take care of us. Those basic needs of life. Listen, the basic needs of life should not be a stressor for us. They should not be a stressor for us. The only thing that we should concern ourselves with is the plan and will of God. How to accomplish that, but even then, does not give us a license to be stressed about it. Praise the Lord. I'm getting correction too. The plan and will of God should not be a stressor. That does not give you a license, please listen to me, to just throw all caution to the wind and to just live haphazardly. We have to make decisions sometimes that are pointed. But when we pour out, it should come freely from within us, without holding back, without reserve. That when we are not meant to live this life under such stress. This is why our focus has got to be right. We have to focus on what God really wants us to do and what He has for us. We have to fill ourselves with that which causes joy. That which causes joy is His word and His promises to us. We have to fill ourselves with it. Again, it's not something we worry about. Oh my God, did I fill myself enough with it? You know if you're hungry, you got to go eat. You know if you're cold, you put on a sweater. You know if you're hot, you take your sweater off. That's the way our life should be. Just easy, just making decisions. Okay, I got to eat, I got to go eat. Praise the Lord. That's how our interactions with the Holy Spirit should be. This is what's necessary now. Okay, I'll go do that. Go over here and do that. Okay, I'll do that. Amen. If we practice those things, if we start putting to practice those things, we'll find that path of ease.